Okay, if you'll take your Bibles and let's all turn to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. We've been looking at the Christian life, and this is a lesson on gentleness. Gentleness. We're going to start here in Psalm 18 in verse number 35, but it is a quote from 2 Samuel 22:36. Now keep in mind, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is the life of David. So we're at the end of 2 Samuel when we read Psalm 18. Psalm 18 was penned after David fought his last battle with Goliath's family. Goliath had brothers, and David slew all of them in 2 Samuel 22, and then in rejoicing, praised God for his goodness. Well, keep in mind, Psalm 18 is God penning his word through a warrior, greatest warrior king, greatest king of Israel. Back then when they fought hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't push-button wars or pull-trigger wars. There was a few distance weapons like bows or a sling, but most of it was with swords, and you were within 2 to 3 feet of the person you were killing when you went to battle and fought. Understanding that, look at Psalm 18, and I'm going to start your reading at verse 31, "For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great." In kicking off the lesson here, understanding David is a warrior, and he prayed, and that's a right prayer to pray. Dear God, help me fight. Lord, help me stand. Lord, help me to kill the enemy. That's a prayer that many people don't pray, but it's the soldier's prayer. It's the police officer's prayer. And knowing that David was hand-to-hand combat, a warrior, praying this, and then he just closes it with, "Your gentleness, Lord, has made me great." Not my fighting ability, not my warrior ability that God gave him. So Psalm 18 kicks off our lesson here with gentleness, and it is God's gentleness. What is gentleness? Well, the definition means kind and mild. Kind and mild, that gets you started with it, but it just needs to be said, gentleness is not weakness. It is power under control. It is treating people right. It would really help us to look at the definitions here first before we get into the illustrations. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Meekness is not weakness. It might help if you understand meekness means looking, being able to look somebody in the eye straight, not up to them, "Wow, you're so-and-so," or down to them in a condescending manner. The word meek means being able to look you square in the eye and addressing you as an equal, not as somebody greater or lower. That's meekness. Gentleness, in this verse here, showing meekness to all men, Titus 3:2. First of all, the word gentleness means fitting into or being appropriate. This means having manners, how to dress for the occasion. I think you ought to wear your best to church. I don't know where it says anywhere in the Bible where you have to wear a suit and a tie. But if you would dress up for the president, then why wouldn't you dress up to come to church? And everybody's best is different. So when somebody says, How should I dress when I come to church? Just wear your best. For some people, it's pants with holes. And for other people, now, you can overdress. For instance, when we had the mother-daughter banquet, we said it was a semi-formal banquet. Well, you wouldn't want somebody, a lady coming in like with a, what are those? Yeah, with the bells. In other words, you don't overdress and you don't underdress. Sometimes if you, for instance, I think I would make people feel weird if I, what's one step up from a suit, if I wore a tuxedo to church? Is there a wedding going on?
You know what I mean?
In other words, being appropriate is gentle. In other words, you don't want somebody to feel out of place because of how you've dressed, so you wouldn't dress down and you wouldn't dress up. You want to dress appropriately, right? You'd want to, that's being gentle. In other words, I don't want to come across in any way that would make you feel like you're not welcome. That's gentle. That's what the verse is talking about, showing meekness to all men. I don't want you to feel, I don't want you looking up at me. I don't want you looking down at me. I want you looking, showing meekness. I want to see you on the level. That's gentleness. And using this word here, gentle to all men, that means you're able to reach and help all. I've been taught when I go out soul winning, if I dress here, I can only reach people that dress this level and down. I can't reach anybody that dresses above me. In other words, if I would give a tract to a businessman, I need to... And that now, I'm not doing a class society now. Do y'all understand? I'm not saying these people are better because of how they dress. I'm saying if I want to give tracts and reach people, I have to be... I can... It's all how I come across. I know some guys, they can't wear a black suit or they look like a mortician all the time. I mean, they walk around there. But if you smile and stuff like that, when I go into Wawa and things like that and I give a gospel track, I can reach people that dress the way I'm dressed and down, as long as I smile and I'm nice. Why do I dress the way I do? So I'm not limited in who I can reach. You understand? There's some people, they shouldn't, but they are. But that's just the way this world is. If I'm wearing a t-shirt and grubby jeans and stuff, hey, I'm the pastor of... You're a pastor? So I want to be gentle. Do I have to dress this way? No, there's no Bible in verse. Our culture kind of requires it for leadership. There's some churches that are like, oh, don't wear a tie, dumb everybody down. You don't want that either. You don't want that. You don't want a casual, oh yeah, come to our church. There's lazy boys in the auditorium and everybody sits and crouches back. And you don't want that either. Just dumb everything down. However, it is interesting to know, this word gentle, it means being able to fit in to or being appropriate. And I do like this statement, able to reach and help all. Paul said, I am all things to all men, so that I might by all means reach some. I don't want to hinder. I just have to be careful as a Christian. I don't want my influence to be lessened because of how I carry myself. That would include snooty, right? That would include thinking you're better than somebody. Well, that repels people too. God says here, be gentle to all men. That's in Titus 3:2. Go to 2 Timothy 2:24. If you're looking at the word gentle and you go through your Bible and you're saying, what does the word gentle mean? I'll take verse 23. We'll start here. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. God says here, a servant of the Lord has to work at. In other words, this is when I'm out in public. I don't think I have a double lifestyle, okay? I don't live one way at home and then one way. But God says, I shouldn't be out to argue with everybody. If somebody's Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, a Scientology or an atheist, and they don't want the gospel, I'm not out to argue with them. I want to help them if they want help. I'm not out to strive with everybody. It's not me against the world. I represent Christ as a Christian, not as a pastor, as a Christian. And God says, I shouldn't be out to strive and argue. And when I can sense an argument, there's some people that ask questions that are totally loaded, and they have no intention on changing. They're doing it to draw you out and then jump on you. When I sense that, when they're drawing out questions, I'm like, hey, there's the track. If you need anything, just give me a call. But I don't try to help people that I can't. Look, are you asking me because you want to know or because you want to argue? I'll help you if you want to be taught. Well, I just think in the Bible, and I remember I've said this a couple of times, but I'm like, So they'll say, in the Bible it says, and I said, you're going to teach me the Bible? Really? You ain't in church? Come on now. What you're telling me is not important enough for you to go to church, and you let's think this through a little bit. I'm not better than you, but you're out of bounds. Now, I'll help you, and I like what my friend Jim Hart used to say. He said, I'm not here for you to teach me what you know. God sent me to you to teach you what God showed me from the Bible. I'm not even trying to teach you what I know. I'm trying to show you how to get saved. But don't argue, be gentle unto all men. And when you sense the argument, you back off. That's being gentle. In other words, what you have to learn as a Christian, when I just got saved, and I think I arguing with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all that stuff, that's probably good for your Bible knowledge. But you start learning. I mean, I've spent 2.5 hours, 3 hours with, yeah, but the Bible says here. Yeah, but God says this. And you eventually learn. In the 2 hours you were talking with them, you could have talked to about 12 other people and given the gospel to that really wanted to know, versus the devil using your pride against their pride. I'll show you in the Bible, and you just got to be careful. It's not an ego battle. It's a spiritual battle. But I've been there, and I have used it wrong. Here, the word gentle here, when you read, it says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. This word means this. It means firm care. The word gentle there means love wrapped in character. It means disciplining with a tear in the eye for the good of the child. Gentleness is not weakness. And I like what one person said, please don't mistake my kindness for softness. I'm kind because God wants me to be. But I do know how to hold to the rules. I remember this announcement, Pastor Owens used to make this on the teen bus. When he'd get on, he would say, now, what are the rules? One of the rules is you don't talk when I'm talking. Now, I want you here, but if you don't want to be here, then all you have to do is break the rule. I want you here, but please don't choose not to be here by your disobedience. Do you see what he just did? In other words, I want you here, but I have to hold to the rules for the sake of everybody, so please don't mess that up. That's called firm love. That's being gentle. It's not, bless God, I'm in charge, you do what I say. That's rough. That's ego. Gentle is, I hope everybody enjoys himself today, but we've just got a few rules. Stay seated when the bus is rolling. Make sure if I get up and give you an announcement, let's not talk while I'm talking, and let's be polite to each other. You see what I mean? That's gentle. A servant of the Lord. You say you're a pastor, you're a servant. If you're saved, you're a servant. That verse goes for all of us. A servant of the Lord must not strive. I'm not out to cause a fight. I'm out to be gentle, apt to teach, and apt to be patient. Finally, the word gentleness means evenness. This is going to be the acting out of meekness. Evenness is where you treat everybody. If I'm gentle, I don't have to... Look, the world's philosophy in the workplace is step on who you have to step on to get to the top. It's dog eat dog. Whoever you got to kill, whoever you got to whatever, that's the world. That's the way they live. When you come to church, God says, don't bring that to church. It's not who can I step on for more influence. It's who can I be a help to. Who can I be a... It's a mindset. It's a mindset that you get when you read your Bible. Being gentle. Evenness. Helping everybody. So now that we got the definition down for gentleness, go to Galatians 5. Go to Galatians. Verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So you've always got a battle going on inside of you. It's the flesh against the Spirit. If you're saved... And the reason you're not always victorious is because your flesh is pulling against you. No, do this instead of what God wants you to do. God says when you get saved, you got a battle going on all the time. Look at verse number 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now he's going to describe works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All those are sexual immorality sins. Then he lists idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why would I read that to you? Because God says, first of all, the works of the flesh are these things. And when people do these things, if you don't know what those are, look up the definition of them. That's how you can tell when somebody's filled with the Spirit or doing their own thing, living in the flesh. So he lists the works of the flesh. Look at verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, the fruit is nine things. Love, joy, peace. Here's what I wanted to show you. The lesson this morning is on gentleness. But if you would take time, and in other words, yes, gentleness is appropriate. It's firm care, it's evenness, it's kind and mild. But are you supposed to what would happen if you yielded to the Holy Spirit and let God, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Maybe if you focused more on yielding to the Holy Spirit, then God can love people through you. It doesn't have to be, okay, I'm at church, now I need to love. Love, love, okay, love, joy. I'm supposed to have joy. Joy. I don't know that you have to work at being loving and joyful and have peace and gentle. I'm not sure you're supposed to work at that as much as you're supposed to work at yielding to the Holy Spirit. And if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll be gentle. You won't attack somebody. You won't hurt somebody with your mouth. Gentleness is something, it's a fruit of the Spirit. I love thinking about this. In other words, if I'll just work at not being flesh-driven, if I'll just ask the Holy Spirit to fill me, then I can give everybody that needs love, love, and joy, joy, and peace, peace, and good gentleness. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit, and I believe you get it as you yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by two things, the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. He said there's two things, he said, that drive me. He said, the meekness of Christ. I think when you talk to Jesus, if you could, the day you get to meet him, if we could go back in time, I think he was very personable. I think we would have been in awe, realizing this is the one that created me, and this is also the one that saved me. But Jesus was very meek. He spoke to you, looking you in the eyeball. He was not repelling. And then also it says here, he's gentle, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Jesus threw out the money changers, whipped, kicking over tables in the temple. Jesus did throw a fit. In Matthew 23, Jesus called the religious crowd, you snakes and vipers. In John chapter 8, he called them, you are of your father, the devil. That's pretty stout. He's looking at people saying, Satan is your father. And he wasn't being extreme. So he had times where he was intense. He had times where he was firm, and he had times where he threw, but he also knew how to sit a child on his lap. He also knew how to, the blind man that didn't even see him went to the Jesus spat in the clay and then put the clay on him. Then he said, go wash your eyes off. And when he washed his eyes off, he could see. I picture Jesus as meek, not weak. Meek and gentle. And if my role as a Christian, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I think gentleness, and just the general definition, is kind and mild. That means, I think gentleness is caught more than it's taught. In other words, how do you teach somebody to be gentle? I can teach you what gentleness is, but hopefully the way I work with people, if you watch the way I work with people, I work at being gentle. A man taught me, one of the men that taught me, he said, people are like fine china. He said, you need to handle them like they're ready to break. And most people are. Just be real gentle. Put on velvet gloves. Make sure, in other words, how you handle people. Now, when I'm in the pulpit and I'm preaching, I'm supposed to preach the Bible way. And you look up preaching in your Bible and you'll find out. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud and spare not and show my people their sins. Smite the hand. Smite the thigh. Hit the foot. God tells you how to preach. When I'm in the pulpit, but if you come into my office for counseling, I don't smite the hand and smite the foot and what's wrong? There's preaching, and then there's, I think, your personal one-on-oneness. And I think gentleness, when it becomes a goal, it's easier caught than taught. And I probably said too much on that, but look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse number 6. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were, verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. This is talking about people in Thessalonica that got saved, and Paul said, when we were among you, we were very gentle with you. And when the examples that I have of gentleness, the men that helped me grow as a Christian, I always felt like I could ask them questions. I always felt, and they always had Bible answers. They could take me to the Bible and show me in the Bible. That's gentle. But did I grow? I don't know anybody that grows instantly. So I think gentleness includes being able to work with a young Christian and understanding, I believe this, if you'll stay faithful to church, God works in your life just like He works in mine. And there's things that I know for every person in this room, God has plans for you that will blow your mind if you'll just be faithful to Him. I'm supposed to help you as a pastor grow, but that's your walk with the Lord. So what do I do? Okay, what do I do if somebody, here we go, miss church? I mean, I had a tobacco problem for 6 months after I got saved. I had a tobacco problem. My drinking quit quickly, but I know some people it's reversed. Their tobacco stopped, but their drinking continues. And then watch this. I have not arrived yet. Do I drink anymore? No. Do I cuss anymore? No. Do I have an alcohol problem? No. Do I have a pride problem? Yes. Do I battle my flesh? Yes. I'm not perfect. I've not arrived. There's things I still battle in my Christian life, but the things that you would see outwardly, okay, someone was very gentle with me. I had people that were helping me and were available. In other words, I knew that they didn't approve, but they were still patient with me and helped me. Y'all understand? In other words, when you're helping, this is talking about helping a young Christian. This is how we're supposed to help each other in the church, being gentle. There's nobody in our church that's perfect. There's nobody in our church that's arrived. But everybody needs to be gentle with everybody. In other words, it's nobody's job to police somebody else. However, it is nice for a young Christian to have somebody to say, hey, how do you have family devotions? Hey, how do you handle this when this happens at work? And it's nice to have godly Christians to talk to, but not the answer like this. If I'm being gentle, I won't go, oh, you don't know? Oh, come on. Well, that's kind of demeaning. God says here, He teaches us in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians is one of the most tenderest books in the Bible, and He said, when you all got saved in Thessalonica, He said, we were gentle among you, just like a nurse cherishes those babies, and you know, in the baby ward, and they handle them very carefully. Same thing true with young Christians. You need somebody to be gentle. You need, and watch this. You say, why would I mention this? The goal of every Christian should be someday to have somebody that you can help. So if you don't have somebody that you're helping, then remember what God's doing in your life right now. Because when somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, I got a problem with cussing. I would say, you know what I'll tell them? This is why God helped me. And I'll give them the verses. And I'll be praying for you this week. And hey, let me help you memorize these. In other words, I show somebody what somebody showed me. I don't, oh, you have a problem with swearing? Oh my goodness. Are you even saved? Well, that's kind of rough. Be gentle. If you do have a tobacco problem, if you have an alcohol problem, whatever it is you're struggling with. I remember a man named John on the ship. We were having a Bible study, and I had just gotten saved. I remember there was some extra time, and the week was really lax. He just went to formation on the mornings, and then the rest of the day was yours. And one of the guys in the, there was four of us in a Bible study. One of them said, hey, let's have a Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. Normally it was in the afternoon. I said, yeah, that sounds great. I got nothing else to do. We went there, and my friend John was crying. Now, here I am, a young Christian. And man, he was spiritual. He loved to pray and all that. And he was weeping, and he said, would you all pray for me? He said, I'm struggling with dirty thoughts in my mind. And he said, I feel possessed. And he said, I'm so... And he was just weeping. He said, I wish I had a cleaner mind, and I wish those pictures weren't in. I'd never heard that before. I'd never heard somebody, one, be that real. You're willing to confess that? And I remember, here we are, we're just four guys, we all got our Bibles. Yeah, let's pray. But John was weeping over it. And I started thinking, wow, I need to control my thoughts too. You understand? Gentleness among ourselves with our failures helps us grow. Here's what I've learned in the church as a pastor. Anytime sheep police sheep, somebody gets hurt. When you have a problem with somebody in the church, it would really help if you would use me as the pastor. That's what the shepherd is for. So you don't go right to, let me tell you what. It would really help if you would use me as the pastor. So why? Because you're not capable? No. So that less people get hurt. And sometimes I can help with problems and nobody has to know about it. In other words, it doesn't have to be broadcast to the church. It doesn't have to be on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all this other stuff. It can stay quiet and people can be helped instead of scarred. We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth, yielding to the Holy Spirit. In the lesson, David is the example. The Lord Jesus is the example. Gentle, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. David could have killed Saul two times, once in a cave, once in a ditch. All he did was cut off his garment and said, Saul, I need you to... One time Saul wept. He said, you're more nobler than me. He said, you could have killed me. He said, when I'm trying to kill you. He was gentle. David was gentle, great warrior. Abigail encourages David's restraint when Nabal, her husband, wants to blow him off. David gets ready to kill him, and Abigail comes and begs him and brings fruit. You read the story in 1 Samuel 25. It's a beautiful story. David spared an Amalekite slave, 1 Samuel 30. His wife and children and all the men that are with him just had their wives and children kidnapped at Ziklag. And David's pursuing, and here's this Amalekite slave. And David says, look, if you'll tell us where they're at, I'll let you go. Well, this is one of the people that just helped kidnap his wife. His men are depressed. He spares an Amalekite slave. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, when Saul and Jonathan are killed, David said, is there anybody that I can honor of the house of Saul or Jonathan? And a little crippled boy, Mephibosheth, he brings to his table and said, you are the son of my best friend. You'll always eat at the king's table as long as you live, and I'll take care of you. That's gentleness. David had some things. He also didn't retaliate when a man was throwing stones at him and cussing him when his son was trying to take the throne in 2 Samuel 16. David gives us some illustrations of gentleness. the Lord Jesus, obviously, is the one we're trying to be like. We want to the gentleness of Christ. How do you get that? By yielding to the Holy Spirit. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, God can love through you, God can give peace through you, and God can be gentle through you if you'll yield to the Holy Spirit.